up, everybody? Welcome to Lightning Bolts and Leather Jackets, where we take our concerns and questions about Christianity and figure out how to kick them in the teeth. I'm Victor Sassano, your host. Here we go.
You are listening to part two of a two-part interview episode series. So if you'd like to get caught up, you can go back to the podcast page, click on part one, and you can start right there if you haven't listened to it already. Now begins part two.
And once I got past that, once I learned that lesson, and it really took me reaching out to God and finding and discovering that He's there. Once I got past that, then it was a matter of just learning how to operate in His grace and how to live in His grace. And that took a considerably more time, more prayer, more study, and more discipline.
That's really good. Yeah, you kind of had to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you kind of like piece by piece, step by step.
Yeah, you know, we have a tendency to think, yeah, you know, I got saved, everything's great, you know, it all happens all at once, but it really doesn't happen. You know, there's salvation, which can happen, you know, in the blink of an eye, all of a sudden. We all know the story of Paul on his road to Damascus. It can happen that way. For some people, it doesn't happen that way for everybody. Some people, it takes years and years of thought and study, and they don't, you know, come around for a long time. But even after you're saved, you know, salvation is one thing. The process of being called and sanctified and glorified, that's a lifetime process. And so we have to be patient with the process. and because God is patient, He's patient with us as we work through it. We need to be patient with ourselves.
Yes, we do. Yeah, especially people that are perfectionists, you know, or something like that, or high performers. They tend to be a lot harder on themselves than most people are. You know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I have that sort of perfectionist gene. You know, whenever I do things, I really want to strive to be the best. I strive for excellence in everything. And so if I notice something off just a little bit, well, I'm going to go back and redo it. That's fine in the writing process. You know, you want to, you know, that's what makes someone a good artist or a good musician, a good, you know, truck driver, whatever in their profession. But with God, we can't be too perfectionist. We have to be, because we're not ever going to achieve Christ-like perfection in our own strength. God sees Christ when He looks at us. And so no matter how sinful we are, and we're all sinful, God looks at us and sees His Son, His Jesus, our Lord. And so our righteousness is imputed to us through Him. And we just really need to accept that.
In the book, you talk rather candidly about your homosexual experiences and kind of curiosities, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to ask this correct, like trying to ask this like in the right way, because there are a lot of people that you know, a lot of the time it's two extremes. One is homosexuality is okay and God loves them, and if they practice that lifestyle, which the Bible clearly says is sin, then they're still going to heaven. And the other side is completely condemning of all homosexual behavior and people that identify as homosexual to the point where it hurts people to the point where they can't come back to the church. So
yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about your experience in that area and what it meant to you to have deliverance from that. Hopefully is what I'm thinking is the right word, but your journey through working through that with the Holy Spirit and what the outcome was.
Yeah. Well, I'm still working through it. So
you can
ask the same question about anything, you know. You know, take someone who is a kleptomaniac, you know, they just got to steal things, you know. Does God heal them? Does God cure them of the desire to steal, we're always going to be tempted to stray. It's just, it's a part of our nature. I think we get lost in this discussion about, you know, sexuality in general and God's grace and God's love. You know, what happened at the cross? Well, you know, Jesus died for sin, for all sin. You know, he, it says in Hebrews, he died once for all. And so, you know, all what? Well, he died for all sin. I mean, he conquered sin and death. So what does that mean? Does that mean we can just keep on sinning? No, the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans that, yeah, we don't save ourselves. There's no amount of not sinning that is going to save us. We can only place our hope in Jesus Christ, in the cross, mm-hmm. what he did at the cross. So we're still going to have desires. That doesn't mean that he takes away all temptation, but we at the same time, we can't give ourselves over to temptation. You know, it says to flee from sin. It's a lifelong struggle. Eventually, keep practicing at it. Just like anything else, you get better at it. But the desire to go astray is always there. And it may manifest itself in different ways at different times. Yeah,
so, and you're right. What you said before is very true. Where it's the church can kind of get hung up on the different facets of sexual sins. You know, when in the Bible when it mentions homosexuality being sin and something that will lead to destruction, it mentions gossip in the same breath. But most churches are talking about gossip. You know, being in the same danger zone as homosexuality. You know,
there's a whole list of sins there that are lumped together. you know, you have idolatry, you have malice and anger. And, you know, all of these are sins of the flesh, and they're destructive. The reason they're destructive is because A, they injure ourselves, but also they injure others. They injure our relationships. And anything that injures a relationship with, you know, someone else, you know, another human or with God is a sin. You know, anything done not of faith is a sin. And so, and you're not doing it out of faith. You know, that's a sin. You know, that's a very high standard. We just have to really, I think, be careful about, what we condemn and how we condemn it.
Yeah, that's right. My church that I go to, that my dad is the pastor at, we accept people as they are. Doesn't mean that we approve of their lifestyle, but we accept them as they are, because that's how Jesus did it. Jesus tells us to come as we are. Doesn't tell us, you know, once we get there to him, you know, then he can mold us and shape us so that we don't stay as we are, you know, and,
that's right.
The initial acceptance is what's so important, because that's the first step. You know,
right.
And that's really great. I appreciate your candidness with the whole issue. It takes a lot of vulnerability to talk about your struggles in a book or on a podcast and publish them for as much as the world to see as we'll see it.
I think we owe, as Christians, we owe it to ourselves and we owe it to our neighbors, to be transparent. You know, it's one thing to preach the gospel and tell people they're sinners, and, you know, if you don't repent, you're going to hell, and Jesus Christ died for you. That's one thing, but, you know, if we do all of that and we're not transparent and let people really see who we are and experience who we are as individuals, I really don't think Christ can shine through us. By presenting the gospel with a lack of transparency. And so I really wanted to open it up and and not be preachy, but just say, look, I'm no better than anyone else. I just have full confidence that, Jesus Christ died for my sins. He is who he says he is. And, I don't have to do anything special in order to believe that. I just have to believe that, accept who I am in him, and live in the grace that he has bestowed upon me.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, what is your desire for this book? Like what do you want to see come out of this book?
Well, that's a great question. I hope God can use it to lead people back to him. And, I wrote the book. It's kind of strange, really, how it kind of happened, because I didn't really set out to write to write a book. My mom had been writing some letters, to my sisters and me and my nieces and nephews. She's up in her 70s now, and I guess she was kind of feeling like she didn't really teach us what we needed to know about God and things growing up. And so she was writing these letters, and I felt the need to respond. And so I started writing a letter of my own, and it kind of turned into a long letter, but it didn't really have the right tone to it. And, my wife pointed that out to me. It didn't have the right tone. And I said, okay, so I just set it aside, let it sit for a year. And then I went back to it and rewrote it. And as I was rewriting it, I realized what I was really doing was writing my testimony. Mm. And so I started approaching it with that mindset. Okay, this is my testimony. What do I do with this? So I decided, instead of just sharing it with my mom, I would just share it with the world. Because we're called to be witnesses. And, I spend a lot of time alone because I'm a writer and I run a business online. So I don't really get, I don't get a lot of opportunities really to meet people and talk face to face and present the gospel. So I thought, I'm a writer. This is what I do. So I'll publish this book as my testimony, and hopefully the Lord can use it to lead people to himself, or even help others grow deeper into him. So I guess it's open. I'm open to whatever the Lord does with it. But I wanted to share it with the world sort of as just a way of saying, this is who I am. This is what I believe. And this is what I stand for.
And that's a powerful, those are powerful statements. And the way, at the very least, even if nobody read it, which a lot of people have, I've seen the reviews, they're very favorable, and there are many of them. The Bible says that, one of two ways we overcome is by the blood of the Lamb, but the other one is the word of our testimony. And that's what this book is it's the word of your testimony about how you are not the king of your life. The Lord Jesus is king of your life, and how he had to help you understand that, and the transformation that took place.
Yeah, I mean, that sums it up pretty well. You're right. Writing it down and putting it out there is freeing in a way that simply believing is not. Believing in Christ saves me from having to work hard to earn my own salvation, which I could never do. But putting your testimony out there, putting your story out there, really frees you in another way. And it's kind of hard to describe. We're saved by God's grace, but I think I'm biblically sound when I say we're sanctified by our work.
We're sanctified
we're sanctified by the way that we put our faith into practice.
Awesome. Well, Alan, is there anything else you'd like to say or talk about?
Yeah, what I hope I hope it happens. You know, young men generally are not readers. Many young men are not readers. And what I hope can happen is that people like yourself or others who read the book might feel called to sort of use it as a tool for reaching young men who may have struggled with some of the things that I struggled with as a young man. And if they can do that by sharing it one-on-one with other young men, or, you know, if they want to get together in a book group with others, you know, men or women or whatever, and talk about it. I put discussion questions at the end of each section there, so that could be done more, you know, just to facilitate sort of that type of discussion. And so if somebody's interested in that kind of a thing, either through their church or they just want to have a book discussion group in their living room or at a coffee shop or whatever, they want to buy multiple copies of the book and do that, then they can contact me and I can offer them a discount on multiple copies. If they want 5, 10, however many, just let me know. And I'm hoping that my testimony can be used to help others with their struggles. And so I'm open to that. And I wrote it with that in mind.
Yeah, praise God. No, that's definitely a great plan. And like I said, we'll have Alan's contact information, his website and stuff in the show notes. So you can click on that and you can go to his pages that say, contact me. And it has his email address on there. You can reach out to him and get the discounted rate for your discussion group book. It's great. The discussion questions are very thought provoking and there's not too many, and you can chew on them for a minute and then go to the next chapter, or take as much time as you want thinking about them, because they're great questions. Yeah, thanks so much, Alan, for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Until then, this is Victor Sassano encouraging you to be a bolt of fresh air.